again Tuesday night, July 18th, 2006. Once again, welcome WTAN1340.com and 1340 AM in the Tampa Bay, and welcome WZHR 1400 AM in Tampa Bay, to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And as you can tell, we do a lot of the shows. We're in Laguna Beach. We have bigger waves than you guys do. So as a result of having bigger waves, we record the show live right in the ocean with a portable microphone, battery-powered, sending it to a transmitting receiver. We do a lot of shows in the water. It keeps everything mellowed out, soaked. Can't actually beat a water show, which we're having tonight. So anyway, welcome to the show. Also, WTAN1340.com and BBSRadio.com. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth of the topics that we discussed last time, Saturday night, when we did our premiere show down south. As you know, this week the Middle East is flared up again. And the flaring is just pretty much normal, because when it boils down to what we're dealing with here, it's somewhat of an energy crisis, and it's a huge ego crisis. And unfortunately, in this world, people don't understand peace within. They just don't understand that, especially in the hot desert country. And it's unfortunate there's so many power trips and control things that go on over there, as we all know. We're not going to go into those tonight. We cover those on other shows. What I'm going to talk about tonight for the new listeners and new aspects for the old listeners is a device, actually a few devices that help bring peace within. One of my spiritual teachers once told me, you can't go to the peace table or the conference table in the peace conference with a bunch of constipated warriors. It just isn't going to happen. So the first problem that I see, from my point of view, is constipation, consternation in the Middle East. And of course, when you're constipated, you know how you feel. You know, you need a laxative. You need to relieve the energy that's blocking you, and then you need to get rid of the cause of the problem, which obviously a laxative won't fix. You need to fix your diet. With me, I take lots and lots of grains in the morning. Psyllium seeds from India are very good. India's not that far away from the Saudi countries. They should be shipping hundreds of tons of psyllium seeds to the Middle East and feeding it to all the warriors and all the terrorists and all the people over there. They should all have psyllium seeds. That would really calm them down. Next, what has to happen is that we need to get rid of all of these satellites, these governmental control satellites that are up there that put these harmful ELF waves into our auric frequencies. What happens is, and this has been going on for a long time, there was a thing called the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy. It really started to get its notoriety back about the time of the Vietnam War, when Agent Orange. Now, methionine, which is the main ingredient in Agent Orange, was researched back previous in the 50s by the Japanese as a birth control substance. So what happens is, when we added it to our Vaseline and gasoline mixture, which was called napalm, we ended up distributing this stuff, malathion, in that form, all over the jungles of Vietnam, with the hopes of not so much killing the foliage, but actually getting the women to get sterile, become sterile. But didn't work. It was a proven fact that in Vietnam, the women produced more babies during the Vietnamese War. And they're all over here in America now running shops and stuff. You've probably seen them. And welcome, Vietnamese people that are here. I love your food. Unfortunately, what the government did to you was not very good, so I apologize for that. Secondly, in the Lyndon LaRoche papers in the Executive Intelligence Review magazine, EIR Digest magazine, published in Washington, D.C., in the March of 81 issue, which you can probably get on the internet, talks about the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, a very serious doctrine in itself. And later on, I got involved with another publication called the Global 2000 Report. It was put together during the Carter administration and came out during the Reagan administration. And that was also a product of the early 80s. And what that report was put together by 44 different countries and 19 different federal agencies, all the Atomic Energy Commission, CIA, Department of Health, Department of Agriculture, all of the major 19 agencies in our government put this together. One of the first things that I noticed was very interesting was the depletion of the ozone layer due to high-flying jet aircraft, not CFC freon cans. Okay? High-flying jet aircraft were causing the depletion of the ozone layer. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. And I have preached about that for years. And when we get into, in my new book when it comes out, Inside Track, and you can also see this on the bbsradio.com website. In my new book, we talk about how the energy comes, when we covered this in my shows last summer, if you look in the archives in September and late August on BBS Radio, the shows are there and the website information is there. We showed how NASA was photographing the surface of the sun and looking at solar flares and then coronal ejections. Coronal ejections become solar flares, but they're called CHs. The one that we looked at in particular was CH-182. And we mapped that, and I've shown it's up on the website, and that was mapped. And as it got mapped, in other words, the pathway across the sun as it released, the exact path was the same as the Katrina hurricane, as it moved, as it changed directions. Remember, it went towards Florida, it went to New Orleans, and it turned around, went back to Florida, and finally came back to New Orleans and went inland. It was all mapped out. That, along with the high-frequency oral research projects, HARP, guiding it a little bit, putting more energy into it, caused a big, tremendous, chaotic problem, once again contributing towards the Global 2000 report, towards depopulation. Depopulation was determined by, you know, the factions that put this report together, that the Earth after 10 to 15 million people, it was considered, would be as much as this Earth could handle. So they had to start cutting back by some means population control. So the drug companies got together as part of this and created reuptake inhibiting drug, SRI drugs, that would compensate for the electromagnetic ELF conditions that satellites and other electromagnetic forms of transmitters would start to transmit into humanity. And this would gradually cause a slowing down of a lot of the actions of population increase. That's one of many things. Other things that happened were the putting of poisons in all foods. For example, tomatoes. Tomatoes, unless they're organically grown and you know the source, have strychnine. Strychnine is arsenic. Arsenic is used in tomatoes. Correct that. It's arsenic, and it's used to get those great big caterpillars, those green caterpillars. But what happens with arsenic when you put it on tomato plants, it ends up in your system. Then there was hybridized corn. Hybridized corn, insects wouldn't even eat it. Think about that. The bugs didn't even want it. And the only thing that would work with hybridized corn in the way of fertilizer to make it grow was hybridized fertilizer, chemically treated fertilizer. So as a result, the corn crop was ruined. Next thing that came along, another problem that we had, was vitamins. You know, we had a big war. I spent 20 years with the National Health Federation located up in Monrovia, California, on Foothill Boulevard. And we went around the country lecturing in all of the cities. We came down to Miami, and we came to a lot of the southern cities, Georgia, Atlanta, Tennessee. We were in all the states. And we had a couple of people in Congress lobbying for the Americans to have freedom of health choices because the government wanted the pharmacists to take over the drug industry and put vitamins, including vitamins, and put synthetic vitamins out. Now, synthetic vitamins, first big clue. What is a synthetic vitamin? It's a chemically produced, enzymically correct product that looks like, biochemically, a vitamin. For example, synthetic vitamin C. But the difference is it doesn't have the life force. S.D. Carilion, back 100 and some years ago, when he discovered Carilion photography, which is actually what a Carilion camera does, by the way, for those of you who don't know, you put a electrically activated substance on a high voltage plate. And the high voltage plate serves as a ground to ground out the electrical power or the energy of the substance you're looking at. So as a result, you see all these little lines jumping off of it in different colors because depending on the spectral frequency of the film that the vitamin or whatever you're testing is laying on, determines the color frequencies of that particular product. Vitamin C would have a greenish type aura. There's seven different categories of vitamins. Each one of them represents a color of light. Each light wave frequency represents a level of consciousness. So if you starve the light, you starve the consciousness, you won't have the feelings. Consciousness is always felt, not thought of. A lot of people think that they think about consciousness. That is not experiencing it. Consciousness is experiencing feelings like love, when you love your children or you love your husband or wife or your grandparents or your mother. That's love. Energy from the adrenal glands. That's a feeling, a level of consciousness. Euphoria, which comes from a secretion of a hormone called vasopressin from the pituitary gland. That's a consciousness. The willpower, which is when you wake up in the morning, you know, while you were sleeping, that was one consciousness called the astral plane, violet in color. When you went from sleep to waking up, that's a different feeling. It's a feeling that you need to get out of bed. You need to get motivated. You need to do things. That's called the will. That's a level of consciousness. When you go running or jogging, you're stimulating the adrenal glands. The desire and the ability to run and move about physically, that's a level of consciousness, of which there are seven. So we have seven levels of consciousness, and they are manifested in the physical body with the secretion of seven different sets of hormones from seven different glands in the body called endocrine glands. So we have seven endocrine glands in the body secreting seven different sets of hormones, producing seven different feelings or levels of consciousness. When we work with the body in our medicine, energy medicine, what we are doing is we are working with any form of blockage or any lack of substance and revenue of the substance that's within the human body. For example, if I were to look at the hormone vasopressin, it's made up of lysine and arginine, two amino acids that when combined produce vasopressin. Now, why do I bring up vasopressin? Vasopressin, when there's a lack of it, you'll have a lack of motivation and you'll have what we call depression because you feel claustrophobic and you feel closed in. What causes this feeling to happen and why would we not have vasopressin in our body is due to environmental causes oftentimes. For example, automobile exhaust, fossil fuel production and exhaust. Fossil fuels become an antagonist of lysine and arginine in the body. So what happens is when you're exposed to more than 8 minutes of a car driving by, you'll have 24 hours of symptoms before the body has purged itself of the carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide poisons that came from this car. If you're in a freeway situation, you could have not only hours, you could have days, weeks, months, and years, which then causes in a long-term scheme of things, it causes things to break down and fall apart in the body, i.e., we produce what are called and trap called antigens, and we become sick. So what we do in energy medicine is we look at any particular cause. Now, going back to vasopressin, a long time ago, the drug companies realized that, well, we could do something about vasopressin. We can make a synthetic form of it. So they did. A company called Sandoz produced a product called Diapid, which was a synthetic hormone made up of a synthetic lysine and a synthetic arginine. It was sprayed in the nose, and when the person sprayed it into their nose nasally, sold by prescription, obviously, the feeling was, oh, I'm in the mountains, I'm at the seashore, I feel wonderful, I feel creative. And this is great, it lasts for a little while, but unfortunately, when you're spraying a substance like this into your nose, the part of your body that's responsible for manufacturing vasopressin, which is in this case the pituitary gland, falls asleep and goes into what science calls atrophic condition. So we don't want to put things into atrophy. So what we did at Paradigm, and what I did years ago, is I developed formulas and devices to fix any one of these given situations that go on. I'll give you another example of a situation. You go into the people, you know, you need calcium, okay? I like to ask everybody, I'm going to ask you the question, I want you to answer it to yourself. I'll give you about 30 seconds. Which mineral do you put in your body daily, and what mineral in the body daily is the most utilized? Actually, the first two. I want number one and number two. And why? Now, if you're saying calcium as the number one, you're correct. But if you're saying calcium and you're growing up, your bones aren't getting any larger, because calcium, everybody knows, is for bone growth, but your bones aren't maturing any larger. And your body still uses more calcium and your bones aren't growing, what is it used for? Okay? The answer is heartbeat. Your body has to have calcium in order to produce an enzyme in the heart called actin, which then allows the heart to beat away frequency-wise. So, now, obviously it would be smart to put in calcium in the body. That would be a very wise nutrient to buy on a daily basis. And by the way, a lot of meat and things like that don't have very much calcium in them. You know, there's vegetables, green leafy vegetables, legumes as they're called, would be a much better source of calcium than meat. It's a horrible source of calcium. And a lot of times it's inorganic anyway. So we have to have calcium on a daily basis. So people right away think, well, I drink milk as a source of calcium. Rather than eat meat, let's just go get milk. Well, fine, go get milk. But what happens is, look at the milk container. And it says, vitamin D fortified. What does that mean? Well, the body has to have vitamin D, vitamin dog, in order to absorb calcium. The body normally gets vitamin D from the sunlight in the amount of 18 international units per one square inch of skin. That's 18 international units of vitamin D for per one inch of square of skin. Now, problem with that is ozone layer being depleted. So the light is not full spectrum anymore. It's too much off into the UV, ultraviolet. So if it's up in the UV area, you're not getting the proper calcium, in your body, because you're not getting the proper vitamin D. So you need to do a supplement, obviously. Well, the manufacturers of milk, the Dairy Farmer Association groups, went along with the drug companies, and they start putting vitamin D and fortifying the milk with vitamin D and calcium. But they don't tell you that these are synthetics. Now, going back to the Korolian photography, where we started in the very beginning here of tonight's show, if we had a piece of calcium of natural vitamin calcium and a natural vitamin D pill, and we had a synthetic, and we put them on the Korolian Aura machine side by side, what we're going to see in a few minutes is the calcium and the vitamin D pill that's natural and organic will have a huge light field of aura, electricity, a life force around it, which you can photograph. The synthetic won't have anything. It'll just be dead, because it's what it is. It's dead. It has no life, you know. So then if we leave the machine on for about a half an hour to an hour, we're going to notice a strange thing happen, that the synthetic vitamin now starts to emanate an aura. But you're going to look at the natural, and it's losing its aura. So what we're seeing here is that the synthetic is now stealing the life force from the natural. So what happens is, if you break that down and put that into your body, that synthetic in that milk that you just bought, or other dairy product, or any product, including vitamin A, by the way, which is oftentimes fortified, which is the immune system. As soon as you put that milk into your body, or that substance into your body, with the synthetics in it, it's going to steal it from your body. So rather than giving yourself more calcium, you're actually depriving yourself of calcium, and you're leading yourself into a heart condition in the case of milk. So you're compounding it. This is what happens. If it's vitamin A fortified, you're destroying your immune system. Your immune system has to come from a natural form of vitamin A. And there's no such thing as vitamin A overdoses. That's only a ploy that was put out there because of some bad gelatin capsules several years ago. We use thousands of units of vitamin A in a palmitate form, a non-oil form, in our vitamins. I formulate vitamins. We have a formula called XL Plus, or the Pyridine Full Spectrum. In it, we put lysine and arginine, vitamin A, calcium, all the things that you need in a natural way. In a natural, we put 233 ingredients in one little pill, all natural, in four synergistic compounds, allowing your body to get antioxidants, to get rid of any carcinogenic products you might have assimilated, oxygen-producing nutrients, detoxing, producing vitamin C, vitamin E, and the different oils to increase the blood through the veins and to prevent clumping and prevent calcium buildup. That's the kind of formulations that I got into years ago. Very important to understand that. And, of course, there's other products on the market, not just ours, that are natural and they do work. However, it's been my experience, having formulated for many companies all over the world, that 90%, maybe even 95% of the things you find in health food stores are no good. Why? Because, first of all, they don't have quality control on incoming receiving inspection of their raw ingredients. Two, they formulate with gel tabs that are toxic. In other words, we use a vegetable gel cap versus an animal gel cap or a pill. A pill, when you make it into a pill, it's compressed. When you compress something, it gets hot and destroys the enzymes. So these are some of the prime. Then quality control overall, and then storage times. You know, if you store the raw ingredients too long, even though the expiration date on the vitamin bottle may be good and well within the range of what you use it at, bottom line is the ingredients that are in that vitamin formula could be very old and you don't know it. And if they don't have receiving inspection, most cases, a lot of the ingredients of these vitamins contain animal byproducts and insect byproducts, simply because bugs and rats crawl around in the raw ingredients. So it becomes very necessary to have the proper understanding of the company and the guarantee of that company that formulated that product to make sure that it's healthy for you and your family. Second thing that I like to look at is assimilation. Vitamins that tell you that you have to have a full stomach or don't take these on an empty stomach have a problem. There's a serious problem with those kinds of vitamins. They're not balanced. You have to have the proper pepane and all the different wintergreen, peppermint. We use all those things to balance the digestive fluids, hydrochloric acid. All those things need to be necessary in a vitamin formula if it's a full-spectrum vitamin. Our vitamins, the ones that I formulated for myself and other companies, I've never, ever made a formula that you couldn't take on an empty stomach. As a matter of fact, we recommend you take the vitamins on an empty stomach. And not only that, if your stomach is upset, rather than taking an antacid, take the vitamins and they'll calm your stomach. They'll actually settle your stomach down. You don't even need food. This is proper formulation. This is the very simple test. You can do it. And you can go to the store and you can buy some pH paper. It's a little roll. It looks like a little roll of Scotch tape, but it's yellow. You can buy it at your pharmacy. Called pH-phydrin, pH-phydrin, spelled P-H-E-D-R-I-O-N. Ask your pharmacist for it. It's about $11.95, $12 for a big bottle, or a big roll of it. When you get up in the morning, before you start taking the vitamins and that, test it. Put a piece of that tape on your tongue and pull it off and see what color it is. If it stays yellow, your body is acidic. If it turns green or blue, your body is alkaline, like it should be. People that have alkalinity are not subject to disease. Cancer, for example, does not exist in a body that's it's alkaline. It cannot. It cannot live in alkalinity. Cancer can exist in an acid environment. So if you're chewing this tape or licking the tape and it's turning dark green or blue, you don't have to worry about cancer. Save you a trip down to the doctor's office. But if it's yellow, you better be getting down to the doctor's office. That's how you test vitamins. Test our vitamins. Take them for a week after you've tested yourself and test yourself again. You'll be in for a pleasant surprise. Now, the next thing I want to cover along this line is what we call electrical precursing energies. Electrical precursing energies are energies that turn into electricity that then tell the cells in your body to ionize. When the cells in your body ionize, your body then assimilates vitamins and nutrients and food sources. If you don't have the electrical precursing energies correctly in the body, you're going to be one of these people that takes a lot of vitamins and you don't assimilate anything. You probably won't even assimilate your food. I've had many, many people come to me that were eating mostly meat, a lot of heavy white bleach flour, and a lot of sugar, and basically bad diets, and say, I want to become a vegetarian. So tomorrow I'm going to start eating salads because I was eating, you know, all this junk food. I'm going to change tomorrow. I always tell them don't change tomorrow because if you switch over to salads, your body can't even digest the raw food in a raw salad. Your body is not used to that. It will confuse it, and you'll probably get sick in a knotted stomach. You need to gradually make the transition from being a heavy, gross food eater to something light and airy. Because you got to allow your body, the nerves are going to start healing, feeling is going to start coming back to your body, the density is going to change, and you're going to just become another person. Actually, your whole body is going to reproduce itself in 7 years, and you won't even have the same body. Then you can absorb, you know, salads, raw food, soups, things that are very light, and they'll be very fulfilling, and you almost will eat a salad or a soup or a soup and a salad, maybe one small piece of bread, multi-grain bread, and you're going to say, my God, I never was this stuffed before, and I feel good. You don't get tired after a meal. You don't get drowsy. You feel great. Well, we began to examine and study the problems of the health food industry, the food industry, the atmosphere, the pollutions, all these kinds of things. We began to realize that with all the electromagnetic ELF and other forms of poison that we have in the world here today, that assimilation was going to be and became a great problem in human beings, along with the toxicity of the foods ingested. So the only thing that we could do was to develop a way where the body would have a higher electrical potential, which would give us a higher operating voltage or a set of electrical parameters to overcome these things and actually get some nutritional value out of these poor food quality substances that we are putting in our bodies. So we began to work with the yogis years ago, and we work with what's called a chi force. Chi force is a energy called yin and yang. You've probably seen it in martial arts. People break sticks with their hands and heads and elbows, and they break these boards all over the place. Well, that's a chi force being, you know, applied. So what we did is we began to study the human anatomy and find out why and what in the body you had to change in order to have this chi force balanced so the electrical forces would be greater. That was how we started. And it was quite interesting. It really was. It was very interesting. And as a result of the studies, we began to learn about shape energy. Shape energy. We found that in the body, for example, there are several different shapes. And we looked at the red blood cell because that's a transporting device, the red blood cell. The red blood cell is a pyramid shape. It's an octahedron. It's made up of iron. As a matter of fact, the red blood cell in the form of hemoglobin is four pyramids, iron atom shape, four of them. They're called alpha and beta chains, two alpha, two beta. So we have alpha and beta chains forming the red blood cell in the body. We noticed that when electromagnetic energy, for example, cell phones, or poison like sugar put in the body, so it could be an electromagnetic outside source or a chemical source, we noticed there was a vast distortion or a geometrical change of the actual shape of the red blood cell. It actually changed. It didn't look like it did, you know, like it should in a textbook. It looked weird. It looked ragged. It looked jagged. When this energy, when this red blood cell changed its shape, it failed to bring in the oxygen to the cells, and it failed to take the carbon monoxide and dioxide out of the cells. God help us if we've got too much carbon monoxide, because that's not good. You won't last long in your body. So we found that when these stresses, chemical or electrical, were placed on the body over any given period of time, starting instantaneously with the first exposure, and then continuing on to the last exposure, the red blood cell deteriorated rather quickly. Actually, within seconds, there was notable destruction. Then what we found is if we would take something in the shape of a pyramid, which is the shape of the red blood cell, with the exact same geometric proportions of the iron atom in the red blood cell in the body, hemoglobin, if we brought that near the body, even though the body was, the red blood cell was starting to fail, by bringing this iron-shaped pyramid structure near the body would automatically, as if by magic, change back to the proper shape and start transporting oxygen in and carbon dioxide out, as though the electromagnetic source or the food source or chemical source was not present. And that was pretty amazing. We did this 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Other countries did it too. Russia did a lot of work with this. Then we found that a pyramid, right side up on the table had an effect. And then we found if we flipped the pyramid upside down, it had a different effect. By changing the pyramid upside down, it would change, cause the body to become physically weaker, but mentally stronger. And that was kind of interesting. How did it affect the mind and the body? And whereas the positive brought both of them up, it didn't matter. With a positive pyramid, the mind was raised and the body was raised. Why did the other one lower the physical? What we found out was that looking at the hemoglobin in the body was so much more polarized on the yang energy, the right side up pyramid, that genetically damage had set in. And this genetic damage caused by the wrong influence of the yin energy had shortened our lifespans and was making us not live as long. And this problem had been going on probably for 1,000 years. So we began to see some genetic defects in our own makeup. We also were able to realize that science had coined a term for the phenomenon of the right side up and the upside down pyramid. It was known as scalar waves, scalar waving. Scalar waves have a lot to do with human genetics and geneticism in the fact that they can overcome electromagnetic and chemical distortion, amongst other things. There's a lot of other things that we can do by understanding scalar waves, but this was the one that was tantamount to what we wanted to do at the time. So then what we did is we took a small, about a silver dollar sized coin, you know, a blank, it's about a quarter of an inch, a little bit bigger, between a quarter and a half inch thick, maybe 5/8 thick, 4/8, well, about 3/8 thick. And we carved pyramids on it so that when you held it horizontally, or vertically rather, and put a chain around it, you'd have pyramids that are right side up on the top, pyramids that were neutral in the middle, and pyramids that were upside down. You know, I'm actually upside down on the top and right side up on the bottom. It looked like a satellite dish. And out on the bridge of the satellite dish, we found that this is where the energy, if we found the focal point in all of these pyramids, which was a focal point for the chi force or the yin and yang energies. And at exactly that point, we could insert a gemstone like an amulet or a mineral, and it would filter the entire chi force or yin and yang force out to one of seven different colors, one of seven different frequencies that the body needed most. Then we worked with John Fee at Pasadena, who developed the Touch for Health years ago, 30, 40 years ago. And we began to do kinesiology, backed up by a machine called the electromyograph, which measures the amount of voltage on a particular muscle when you ask it to lift something, like your arm up, or lift a weight, or to walk, or to move around. We also measured this with biofeedback equipment, and a whole variety of other testing devices. And we found that this device that we had created with a stone in it made people stronger physically and made them stronger, especially when they were subject to gasoline smells or smells of chemicals or eating sugar. It just, the body just didn't seem to be affected anymore when they were in this field. So we were working with what we call the nuclear forces within the atom, and we created what was called a nuclear receptor, which then got a U.S. patent on it, which it has today. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. Having made this creation at that time, we didn't quite know exactly what we had. So we began to put them on the necks of people, let them wear them, and observe what would happen. And we began to find out the first thing that happened to almost all of them was the quality of life changed. They seemed to be less allergic. They seemed to have more energy. Wounds seemed to heal faster. They didn't seem to have the seasonal virus problems anymore. So in general, we figured, well, we're probably allowing the body to boost the immune system. Now realize that the body has to heal itself. There's nothing out there that can heal your body but you. But we can redirect a lot of misdirected energies, chemical pollutants, physical chemicals, electromagnetic pollutants. We can redirect that energy into your body in such a way that it's no longer harmful. And the life force within, which is very strong in all of us, suppressed in most all of us, begins to manifest in a way it should. So we found that, obviously, if the body has seven levels of consciousness, and seven different sets of feelings, then obviously we could use seven different colors of gemstones and get creative processes going and repair any kind of damage that there was in the body. The next thing we needed to look at was time. What would we do first to a human? Animals, dogs love these things, and so do cats, believe it or not. Next thing we realized is the blood itself was the first area to go to. Blood completely reproduces. The red blood cell completely reduces itself its entirety within 90 days, 3 months. So we did blood tests. We could do blood tests on people's blood, chemicals, balance, pH levels, enzymes, what's carried, iron content, all these kinds of things. And we found that wearing this receptor over a period of 90 days, the quality of blood was much better. It was a much healthier substance with a lot less toxicity than 90 days hence. And that's how we started out a long time ago. We found that we tested people with kinesiology for different colors. Let's say your thyroid was showing up to be weak. You have thyroid problems. Thyroid gland is a female energy. It's a yin force gland. So because it is a yin energy and our body is low on yin energy anyway, which is represented by the upside down section of the red, of the hemoglobin in the iron molecule, or an upside down pyramid, because of that, you know, the thyroid gland oftentimes was a problem for people. So we put green, we used an emerald on the bridge of the nuclear receptor. And, of course, the thyroid, to balance that energy, takes longer. It wouldn't do it in 3 months. That would take 6 months to a year, even sometimes 2 years. But once that was balanced, we noticed that the habits of people's eating had changed. And people that were underweight gained weight, and people that were overweight had a tendency to lose weight. So it wasn't the receptor that did that. It was their bodies that made the change once a new directive, a set of prime directives, was set in. Then we began to study some more of it, and we found that the next hormone structure coming up was the tropic hormones. That would be above the thyroid, not below it. So we're going in the throat, we're going up into the head zone. And kind of getting up into the head zone, we look at the pituitary gland. Pituitary gland is represented by the color red. It's also the heart, the birthplace of the will, the consciousness of the will. It's where the vasopressin and lysine are. So by using some people that didn't, we didn't get the correction we wanted with thyroid, so we used a red ruby in the nuclear receptor. And remember that the, what's called the tropic hormone center is the pituitary gland. It directs all of the tropic hormones and controls all of the rest of the body. So even though the thyroid gland is the gateway to the body, which is very important, the pituitary gland has an even greater importance in the fact that it controls all of the body. So that we've got to working with people there, and we were having amazing results with all kinds of imbalances, things that were strange in the way of, you know, chemical eccentricities of the body suddenly didn't have the problem anymore. They were balanced. Then we decided to go back down into the body, into the feeling of love, the cavity of love, the heart. And people with heartbeats, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, found the sapphire was the stone of choice there. And we were able to make corrections there. So those were the main three areas that we would work with for many years. Later on, we found that we could raise energy when people had digestive disorders. We could use a gold sapphire, yellow sapphire, and get solar plexus changes, meaning the adrenals, kidney, liver, those organs that were out of balance, we could balance those. So that's the next area that we went to. Gradually, we kept going down to the gonads, the sexual areas. The people with, that were sexually dysfunctional seemed to become much more functional with the amethyst. The amethyst receptor seemed to really help people a lot. And then finally we decided, well, we got to get back up to the kind of where the spirit connects to the body, the silver cord and all that mystical stuff. At the same time, it is called the crown chakra, and it also is the pineal gland, the highest frequency gland in the body, which contains serotonin and melatonin, which has to do with everything from jet lag to spiritual thoughts about God. And we found that the white diamond, or the cubic zirconia, a natural stone, worked quite well there. Once we had charted all of these thousands of people wearing these things over many, many years, over three decades, we developed quite a database of, you know, of energy in people and what, how things go on. And we were able to find that, for example, if somebody had, say, a weak thyroid and we put a diamond on them, it might not be the right thing to do. The blood pressure might be affected in the wrong way. So we made very careful observation that we would match the right gemstones up to the right receptor. Now, in some of my earlier, if you go over to bbsradio.com and listen to the archives, it's now archived up to May 20th. It's about a month, almost 2 months behind. It'll get caught up again. Some of my earlier shows, I really go into amulets and the study of jeweled necklaces and bracelets that have been worn by people over the past 3,000 or 4,000 years. And the priests, the hierophants, the higher orders, the doctors, the healers, Indians from India, Native American Indians, everybody, all sects agree on one thing, that there was some kind of magic, some kind of energy to the amulet. So what we had done, and they talk about lapis lazuli, you know, rubies, diamonds, turquoise, every stone you can name has some spiritual, mythological quality that somebody somewhere on this planet could relate to. Whether you relate to the Hope Diamond or the Star of India, or whether, regardless of that, or just a small little pearl that you got, or a little diamond that your lover gave you, or your husband or wife gave you, or somebody gave you, regardless of what it is, we relate to it. So with the nuclear receptor, we were able to take that technology and put it into a scientific platform and bring it forward into something that became a usable instrument. In my book, I wrote a book. The first book I wrote about this technology was called Death of Ignorance, and it went all over the world. It was quite a popular book, Death of Ignorance. You can order those. The second book I wrote, or actually wasn't, it's the third book. It's called Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. It's still a 5-star Amazon bestseller, and you can get that book from us. At Paradigm.com or 1-800-729-2603, or just type Dr. Fred Bellman on any search engine, it'll take you to our phone numbers. That book is about 500 and some pages long. It's got 400 illustrations. And the reason I illustrated it so much, and I'm talking about full-page 3D drawings, I wanted, to me, even though I used to be a rocket scientist and became a doctor later, I've met smart people, and I'm certainly not one of them. I am the slowest learner. If you read a book, you know, say a paragraph in a book that's trying to get a point across, and you get it one or two, and the first time through or the second time through, you're better than me. I have to read a book four or five times to get it across. I finally get it pretty good, but I think it takes me twice as long to read a book than the average person. Maybe three times as long. People think I'm smart. Well, I got them smart because I fooled them all. I'm really kind of slow. And I always found that pictures, you know, you've heard the saying, pictures, 1,000 words, worth 1,000 words. But I needed 3D drawings. A regular old picture is not good enough for Dr. Fred. He has to have Dr. Fred has to have a 3D drawing. So, third dimensional drawing. So my book, I made sure I hired the best artists, because I'm not really a good artist, and the best people to do the illustrations. And I'm telling you, the pictures in that book are really cool. I even when I wrote that book back in 99 and 2000, I even forgot half the stuff I wrote because I was so on it. So I have to go back and reread my own knowledge because my attention span is too short. I have to go reread what I wrote when I was really hot on the topics. Remember what I did, you know, so it's kind of a manual to repair Dr. Fred Bell's brain. But I think you'll enjoy the book. It's called Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, and it has a big section on the nuclear receptor and some of the things that we're talking about this evening, July 18th, 2006. You can also reach me at fredbell@paradigm.com. or Mikkel, M-I-K-E-L-L-E, at paradigm.com with your emails if you want more questions answered. And we, believe it or not, we answer all the emails, and we get a lot of those. We get a lot of emails all the time. One other point now I want to cover with the receptor in the back to vitamins. We define vitamins as the first unit of biochemistry that possesses light, because rather than get bogged down by all the different types of beet complexes that are out there, B1, B2, B3, the nitrilicides down in B12 through B17, and all the B vitamins, just realize that the B spectrum is a yellow spectrum. The B spectrum works through the solar plexus. The entire B spectrum works through the central nervous system, primarily the autonomic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. And you'll have a better understanding for B vitamins. You can get into like B15 and B17. These are the upper end of what are called nitrilicides, which are, of course, illegal because, unless you have a prescription, because these vitamins are so powerful that they'll produce so much oxygen. For example, B15 developed by Ernest Krebs Sr. and shown in Russian studies to make it almost impossible to have a heart attack if you have B15. So in right quantities. We have put that in our formulas in the past in a form called N,N-dimethylglycine. That's N,N-dimethylglycine. That's the terminology used for it. If you can find that on the market, you've got yourself a good source of B15. Of course, everybody knows that B17 is Laetrile, and that you can get seeds, cherry seeds. I put it in my vitamins with almonds and cherry seeds. And apricot kernels. We're not allowed to use those in formulations, so I'm not using those, but there are rogue places out there in the health food stores that can get you apricot kernels. B12 is often taken. That's the bottom of the nitrilicide family. That's often taken by injection. And what all these B vitamins do, they're very powerful antioxidants, meaning they carry tremendous amounts of oxygen through the blood into the various cell structures. And they also deactivate anything that's called carcinogenic. There are chemicals out there in just about everything, including the air, that have a tendency to make the body go acidic, because that's what carcinogens do. They make your body produce acid. And the wastes of the acids are what bring you down. For example, lactic acid. Okay, lactic acid is produced because during the day, 99% of your energy is overcoming gravity. Okay, you're holding yourself up. Well, your body, every time the muscle moves, it produces lactic acid. The lactic acid at the end of 15 or 16 hours is in your bloodstream in huge amounts because the liver and kidneys can't get it out as fast as you can produce it. Not anybody except Mark Spitz that I ever met could do that. He won the Olympics in swimming years ago. He didn't produce lactic acid his body could get rid of as quick as it was made. Other than that, everybody got tired. When the lactic acid gets in higher concentrations in your body, it breaks down the electrical polarities of the currents of electricity that flow through the central nervous system. When these electrical polarities start breaking down, it drains the energy, the electrical energy in your brain, and you can't think anymore. You start dragging, and it's so hard to move. Well, that's what carcinogens do too. They're acids, so you want to keep the body alkaline. The nice thing about the nuclear receptor is it produces a very high state of alkalinity. You can actually take a nuclear receptor and marry it with a grapefruit juice and monitor the pH with litmus paper, and you can actually see the change of that nuclear receptor sitting in a glass of grapefruit juice over a period of a day or two, change it from acid to alkaline. You can witness that for yourself. So these things are basically also demonstrable to yourself and others. It's not things that's airy-fairy. This is hard science. And a lot of on the BBS radio website, you'll see a lot of the documentation there. And you'll see a lot of documentation on the Pyridine website about the nuclear receptor and the things that we're talking about, you know, this evening. And if you have questions that you want to do on-air questioning, save those for the Saturday night shows, because those are the shows that we'll do questions usually when we have guests. Not always, but sometimes. Anyhow, these are the kinds of things that we talk about at Health, Energy, Science, and Pyridine. These are the types of issues that need to be addressed in daily life. Another area that we go into, which we won't have time to go into this evening, is negative ionization. Negative ionizers are incredibly important. We produce a device called the ion shower, which is the most powerful negative ion generator in the world, 50 times more powerful than anything on the market today, except this one, obviously. It produces over 100,000 volts, and when you stand underneath it or sit underneath it, it actually puts a curtain of energy over your body, and you can just feel this euphoria all over your body. And your body needs ions, negative ions, to reproduce cells. Your body is supposed to reproduce cells at the rate of 50 million per second. But with today's pollutant and all the dust particles and chemical particles in the air, the ionization potential of the atmosphere is down 90% from what it was 100 years ago. That's a serious amount of degradation. Another area that we're going to get into is the temperature of the Earth and the greenhouse effect. These are some of the up-and-coming topics that I'm talking about now. These are things that I have not discussed yet on any of my radio shows up till now, and you won't find in the archives. These are just the plans of new shows we're going to get scientists on. We're going to talk about the greenhouse effect. I think that if you look out across the world this year versus last year and the year before, if you compare this year temperature-wise in the United States to 2 years ago or back further, any time further, you're going to see this is the hottest summer we've ever had. So this is a very important issue that we're going to be getting into, because in the last century, the temperature of the Earth has raised 1 degree. Now, that people say, well, 1 degree, so what? What's that? Well, if your body raises its temperature from 98.6 to 99.6, you're a pretty sick puppy. Then if we raise it another half a point to 100, you're not going to be walking around too well. You're going to be laying down and dragging and feeling really bad. The Earth is only about 4/10 of a degree from being in the same condition climatically, which is not good. So this is another issue that we're going to have to be taking up here very soon. So hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show. And I feel that I need to get back out in the ocean, which is probably going to be boiling with the temperature the way it is. Who knows how much the ocean... Oh, there it is. Comes the whale. There's Neptune. There's a whale. Wow. I'm going to have a whale of time with this whale in the ocean tonight. I really like Laguna Beach. I hope that you enjoyed the show. The show is ending now. It's over with. There isn't any more show tonight. The next one will be Saturday night, which is about the 25th or so. I can't do math too well. We look forward to seeing you. So until again, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Again, our phone number is 1-800-729-2603. I think there's something glowing in the waves. Go over there and see what that is. There's something glowing out there. Oh, the show's over. Go away. Swimming now. Go away.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.